Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Eric Siska,
Chris Gavin,
and we're Making It So. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making It So, the patrons-only Star Trek Picard podcast. Thank you so much, first of all, for your continued support of our Patreon endeavor. This week on the program, the episode in question, episode 7, Nepenthe, written by Samantha Humphrey and Michael Chabon, directed by Douglas Arnionkowski. Ooh, that was a tough one.
Let's start, as we always should. I was fucking right!
What were you right about?
About how she finds out about the future thing.
What do you mean?
And Alison Pill's character at the beginning of this
episode, she sees the future.
You find out how she had seen the future.
And you called Vulcan mind meld?
I said it was the when because there's such a blood cut when she comes up. It's like, Alison Pill, I have to talk to you about something.
Yes.
Cut, and you never see it again.
Sure. I've got a message for you.
Whammo!
Yeah, Alison Pill's like, my son's going to save them all. Don't you fucking see that? Don't you fucking see that? Skynet!
Yeah, that's where we start, right?
We're back at Okinawa.
You're dead. You're all dead.
three weeks prior.
Anyone without 900 degrees sunblock is going to have a pretty fucking bad day, okay?
You just don't know it yet. You're dead.
By the way, this is a in-studio episode, so it's going to get wacky.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
By the way, I apologize. That's my inner monologue saying I should apologize.
Apologize!
I'm sorry about the audio quality of the last episode.
I'm sorry for what I did.
Thank you.
Well, what you said, dude, you were in fucking Beverly Hills by the pool calling in like a piece of shit.
See? They brought over an old clunky telephone. And I was like, Johnny, how you doing?
Yeah, all I had to do was nag at you and belittle you for a whole week about how your voice sounded on that episode.
Yeah.
And now you're finally apologizing. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chris. I let you down.
It's okay.
I failed you.
So this episode does start. Our cold open is Commodore O, the crooked Vulcan Commodore.
A Vulcan in sunglasses feels pretty new to me, actually.
Dude, I was going to get to it. Yes,
it's these sunglasses.
What are we doing? Because here's the thing. She takes them off to do the mind meld. She's a Vulcan. She does the mind meld.
That is. Okay, so she is a Vulcan.
Yeah,
she is a Vulcan. Not a Romulan.
Yeah.
God damn, it's so hard to tell.
All these aliens look the same to you, dude.
God, I'm sorry.
I mean, Romulans and Vulcans look exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, they were once the same people. Anyway, so, she fucking takes these sunglasses off. And I thought she was going to be like, here you go, Alison Pill, put on these sunglasses and you'll, like, Mission Impossible, see the information.
Nice. And then Alison Pill's like, dun, 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 and throws it. And it explodes.
And then the opening credits happen.
Well, it's like, it's kind of a CSI Miami move, taking these sunglasses off at the end of the cold open.
I was expecting her to put them on in the scene and be like, this Vulcan is out of this world.
What I don't understand, though, about this, because so what she does is she does a mind meld, my mind is your mind, blah, 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 and shows her what's going to happen if synths are allowed to exist. But I was like, I don't recall Vulcans given, like, being able to see the future. What the fuck are we talking about?
It's all prophecy shit, which
or it's like assumption.
Yeah.
Or is it like just showing the Mars shit? Like, more Mars shit will happen.
There is they do show the guy killing himself on Mars, so that's sort of part of it.
The synth that offs himself.
Like,
there.
If there's Mars on Earth.
But the clawing at the face stuff, that seems future.
Yes, it seems like
it does.
Presumptive, which is bizarre.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I do love when she's like, okay, so you're in a. She's like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And she's like, okay. Here, take this tracker. Like, no, don't eat it. Because she does immediately eat this thing. And I'm like, and she's like, you have to chew on it. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that goes in your ear.
I noticed this.
Or put that in your wallet.
The second time, I was like, why did she just instinctively know to put this in her mouth?
Does it look that delicious? Dude.
I mean, I guess it does look like a blue mint breath strip or something. Yeah, so that's, you know, that whole thing. And she says, first of all, Allison Pill vomits the first of two times in this episode. Mm. And Commodore O is like, you know, what I'm going to ask of you is going to cost a terrible sacrifice, is the thing. And then we cut immediately to, we're back on the ship, and Rafi and Rios and Agnes are stuck in a tractor beam that the Borg yes. cube is preventing them from leaving. And this is all, of course, fucking Nerissa Rizzo and her big plan, and everybody fucking pretend you give a flying fuck about this lady.
At least in this episode, finally, she's doing something. I give that
she
credit.
Is. I yeah. actually think in this episode, she's especially terrible because is she's right? asked to do stuff and it's just not very
oh,
good.
I didn't say she was good.
No.
I said she's doing stuff.
Because I've seen this. I mean, again, like she was on Mad Men. She was good as that one, as like Roger's like kind of shitty second wife or third wife or whatever the number is.
Correct.
And that's it. And it's a very specific character. This is not that. She's doing this bad British accent, which I wish you didn't have to do.
Just talk like you talk, lady. I mean, I don't know. What do you got? Some like hilarious Canadian accent or something? Like,
what's... I also still just don't understand. Why isn't Narek doing all of this?
Yeah.
Like,
it should be one character.
Why do you need two?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what the fuck? Narek, it does almost nothing in this. He's just like, oh, gosh darn it.
Well, he's like on their trail or whatever.
Yeah, but like,
so. Dude, he's just fucking tailing them.
And he's like literally looks at a fucking hologram and says, oh, fuck.
Guys,
and that's it.
If we can get Narek in our rear view mirror, I would be happy.
Yeah,
I mean, this is sort of what's going on yes. here.
If we well, that's a big question
in this rear view mirror.
But this is a big question though, because you're not going to get all of it.
Yeah,
which is worse out of the two of them,
Narek
or Nerissa?
Rizzo is worse.
Yeah,
whatever her name is,
Nerissa Rizzo.
Okay, yeah. Nerissa is worse.
Yeah,
Narek is somewhat better, but not by much.
No,
I mean, like, so yeah, yeah, so like. When we met last saw Elnor, he and Hugh were in huge soup. and like Rizzo's got all these Borgs line up. And
these poor XBs, dude.
This
and,
is,
like, and this is heartbreaking.
This is, crazy. This is fucking this is war crime stuff, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. She kills all these XBs and then she's like trying to torture Hugh, and then she's like, oh, but if I killed you, that would be against the treaty. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're breaking laws.
Also,
right
like,
now.
Just making the artifact a dead ship again. Like, I'm sure this is going to draw attention to whatever scheme you have going.
Exactly. Yeah, just leaving all these dead piled here. I mean, yeah. But I guess it's a weird thing where I guess the Borg. I mean, did Hugh have to fill out some sort of registration card? Because, like, he's protected by the Federation. Because in previous episodes, they've said, like, your Federation.
Oh,
yes.
Because,
blah,
like,
blah.
He's Federation and XBs are, like, stateless and, like, not
right.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why he wanted Picard to be like, hey, dude.
Fight for yeah. XB
he
rights.
He got citizenship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it that weird way. I said it like
a ship. You said it like an XB, dude.
A ship that is yeah. a citizen?
Like, we're like all the immigrants coming to America. Like, oh, no, we got to get to the citizenship. Otherwise,
citizenship. I kind of said it like fucking Christopher. Citizens. He got citizenship is what you want to have.
Why doesn't... is there, like, a bank button in this where, like, if something wrong is going on, you just hit it and, like, the fucking Federation finds out? Like,
yeah, they'll just kill
this
guy and
send to this artifact
and put him yeah. on a fucking planet. Like, oh, he died in a fucking a whorehouse. I don't know what happened. You know what I mean?
We gave the XP shore leave and they fucking went nuts at this old Western whorehouse. God damn it. Why did I say that?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. you're an XB. You're on a holodeck. Someone's
sure.
playing a rinky dink piano, dude. You're horny as hell.
So she leaves him alive.
Kills all these XBs.
Yes.
Executed.
Elnor is missing at this point.
He's just kind of like hiding, yeah, I think yeah. is the idea. But he has stayed behind. Mm-hmm.
And then she like leaves him. And then like Elnor is like, oh, we have to get out of here. And then like, obviously this is her trick. We yeah. can just talk about this whole fucking thread right here.
Sure,
we cut
let's
back
get
to
it over
it.
With.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, no reason to keep going.
So it's like, oh, and like Hugh is like, well, we'll use the Queen's thing. There's some power in it. You just need me to use it. So we're going to do it and blah, blah, blah. We're going to escape and fuck these people over. And then all of a sudden, she's like, mwahaha, I'm back.
Black smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she literally just walks out from behind a box. Exactly. There's a stack of crates.
But she's like a space witch. Is that
yeah,
the idea?
I don't know.
That's the way they're kind of making her yeah. come off. I mean, she's just a Romulan agent. Just like
you never know if she's coming or going. Where she, you know, like the spatial relation with her character. I never know where she is or where she's going to appear.
And she
it's
is
weird.
But I think this is all just to, for a reason to get Enron to slice and dice a couple of Enron. People.
Enron.
The
Elron,
sharpest
sorry.
People.
Elron Hubbard. Just think of that.
Okay.
But yeah, so they do have another confrontation. Rizzo like has a blade to Hugh's throat.
Yeah.
And is like, you know, I'm going to cut you down, blah, 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 blah. Elnor comes out of nowhere, starts fucking up all of these Jatvash operatives that she's got. You know, pretty cool.
Sure.
And then so they have an interaction where she's like, oh, you know, us Jatvash don't do things like you, Kuat Milot. Like, let's fucking get it on. So they kind of have some fighting and whatever. And in this fracas, she fucking hucks this little blade at Hugh, gets him right in the throat. It's been nice knowing you, Jonathan DeLarco. It was cool seeing you back in this character, but now you are D.E.D. dead, dude.
Sure. It's I guess you can count it as a hero's death sort of.
He refuses to give up like where Picard is. Yeah. Right. It's that kind of a hero's death.
Yeah. It's a sleepy death is what it is.
So
it
this whole this whole show is just going to be like people dying for Picard in this useless quest. And,
hey, not for nothing, man. That was a lot of TNG also.
And then just talking about, but I love Picard so much, and he is the best to do this. Me dying was so worth it for him.
This show's like Don Quixote or something.
Right? Yeah, I'm chasing windmills.
Oh, but it's in the shape of Mr. Data.
Yes, Enron, get on a donkey and follow me.
And then so, you know, Elnor kind of just, now he has this other thing of like, now I gotta fucking avenge this guy. God damn it.
He's gotta avenge him. They have a very, it's a little sensual there at the end. I was like, what are we
some
trying to set
face
up?
Face touching.
With Hugh and or Elnor, it's like he's touching his face, like, was I a worthy cause? And it's like, yeah, sure. And it's like, you need an XB to pilot the Queen's whatever. And it's like, well, where am I gonna get an XB? Spoiler alert, in the trailer, it's gonna be 7 of 9.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much that whole thing. There is an exchange between Elnor and everybody on the ship where he is like, no, leave without me. You know, my sword is now tied here to this quest. I got to help out Hugh.
What do you mean? You just do shit like that? Really? It was me, motherfucker. You're supposed to be you were supposed to wait for me.
So then the rest of the episode takes place on Nepenthe. I love the little bunny corn TOS reference.
Oh, is that? I didn't pick up on that, actually.
Yeah, because like the first thing you see on the planet is a little rabbit, and he's got a little unicorn.
Oh, fuck.
Thing.
I must have missed it.
Oh, and then they're eating bunny corn sausage.
Yeah.
Which sounds fucking delicious.
Totally, dude.
I mean, this fucking pizza. Let's just get into it. This pizza he's making this entire episode.
All right. I'll come to the barbecue, but I'm just until my ride is here. You know, I've got places to be, all right?
This is kind of the episode, at least I've been waiting for
since
the commercials. This is the return of Will Riker and Deanna Troi. They're living on Nepenthe, but Picard and Soji use the little time tunnel that the Borg Queen had to go there, and they are met originally by, you know, immediately that it's fucking Troy and Riker's daughter.
Yes.
This girl
named
whose
Krusty?
Name, Kestra?
Are we safe, Krusty? Can you put down the bow and fucking arrow? Thank you.
Oh, Jesus, this fucking Wes Anderson precocious kid horse shit.
Hey, now, could you take me back to Captain Fantastic and everyone else?
Exactly. It's very Captain Fantastic.
It is. I like that, though. And I love this serene setting they got, this little compound. And Riker, still charming as fuck and cool as a cucumber.
Fucking absolutely. Fat Riker. Yeah. My lord.
Well, he's hot as hell, dude. I wish I was this hot and this fat.
I mean, it's kingpin fat. I mean, it's all muscle there.
Exactly.
He looks like he could fucking choke a bear to death,
it's
dude.
A hearty fat.
A fucking head like a extra large can of crushed tomatoes.
I mean, Jonathan Frakes has always been built like a brick shit house. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, look, he's, you know, he just put on some gut weight because like he's made it. He's working the cons.
He's an incredibly successful television director.
Exactly. Like, and like, so
he's wearing this fucking kiss the cook fucking thing.
He definitely is. I mean,
apron. Apron's good. Maybe hides the gut. Maybe we should do. That should be like male fashion now, right?
The problem with aprons,
casual apron.
Yeah, maybe
it gets a little too steampunky. Is the problem?
Oh, yes.
You're gonna just add some goggles.
You know,
well, that's
goggles
the thing. Just don't wear
look.
Goggles.
Actually, God, now that you mentioned it, goggles would really complete that look.
Yeah, and then you just got pliers and shit in
a
your
large
apron.
Key on your fucking goddamn belt.
Zeppelin if you're ever mechanic. Wearing an apron, you can't wear goggles. You can't wear elbow length rubber gloves. Oh, absolutely not.
But what if you're like turning the barbecue or the pork or whatever? You're smoking.
What do you need rubber gloves for that for? How the fuck
hot.
Do you barbecue?
The answer is I don't. I just imagine it's a steampunk-esque enterprise.
You have to do it on an airship.
I love the air-smoked pork is the best.
The reintroduction of these characters as we first meet Troy doing some gardening. She sees Picard come over the ridge, is incredibly excited, and it's fucking great, dude. Her betazoid powers right here. She hugs him, instantly realizes that he's terminally ill, and you can see Marina Sirtis do a great job. She's fucking devastated by that, and he's like, no, I'm okay. I've accepted it.
We'll get this at the end, the wrap-up, and like whether or not I think this show should exist. Spoiler alert, I don't think it should, but I do think it's really nice to have her do something, because she was sidelined in all those movies.
Absolutely.
So this character has been effectively dead since like 1993 or whenever the fucking series went off.
The show went off in 94,
Yes.
She was like a quip thing. Like,
yes.
She was just like, something smart had to be said.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. She's stupidly raped in that, mind raped in that Nemesis movie.
Fucking Christ.
Oh, I did forget about
that. Of all
that.
The things, of all the sins of that movie, that might be the biggest. Data's number two, I feel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, this character was a great character, hasn't had anything to do for 20 years, 20 plus years.
And it's rad because what you get to see her do is what she's great at. She fucking counsels Picard. She counsels Soji.
Yes.
Like, she knows immediately, like, this is a person that's in trouble, and her, like, you know, the instinct to help is, like, right there. I really don't feel like either of them have missed a beat coming back to these
absolutely
characters.
Not, no.
So she's really great. And then this is the great, this was in the commercial and everything too, but the Kestra is like, dad, and he's got the great, stop yelling, it's Jean-Luc Picard, you know, and they do the great thing where he looks out the window and then Picard's already there. Hello, Will.
Dude, fucking that freak saying stop yelling, I'm like, oh shit, I better stop doing what I'm doing. Like,
dude,
I'm in trouble.
My asshole clenched right up.
He's got that great dad energy.
He really does, dude. Dad was mad that day, my friend.
If you yell like that again in my house, I'm going to crack you like a lobster claw, you hear me?
What we did not guess, though, because we were all, you know, anticipating last week, like, laughing at his, he turns around to see Picard and whatever. But his, like, after the hello, Will, Riker's line is, oh, man! Like, he's so excited, like, hey, man!
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Like, the casuals. I realized...
Dude, Nepenthe, it is legal.
Yeah.
It is absolutely legal.
Totally.
You spend your whole day making a pizza, of course you're high.
Yep.
What do you got on your plate today? Oh, pizza.
That's it. I'm going to take the longest time possible to make. It takes him the entire day to make this pizza.
It would be funny if he had that apron and one of the Grateful Dead skeletons, like, on a UFO is on it.
It's taking him forever to make this pizza. Have the bunny corn eggs hatched yet, man?
Let's just order it. Let's go to Domino's and order. Will, this is ridiculous.
You're near the Domino sector, so.
The Domino's sector.
You can track which galaxy the Domino's pizza flyer is coming through. You can see the whole journey.
Dude, I was doing some Domino's tracking last night. Don't even worry about it. I realize, too, what I like about this, and like, they're not like in the service anymore,
kind of
a thing. They're allowed to just be people,
and
like people who love each other and care about each other. So like the casualness and the way that they interact, like later when he's making the pizza and Picard's like, oh, speaking of drinking, can I have some wine, man?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, have some wine. And it's like, you're realizing you've never seen these characters interact this way. Even when they're like lounging about on TNG playing poker. It's always like, well, and the next thing is to you, Worf. I guess I'm calling to you.
Let me take a sip of this water that I'm drinking.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is like they're just being real people, which I understand for a lot of people watching this show is unsettling and weird.
I love it.
I'm liking that they're being people.
I wanted more of this. This is what this show has been missing for me.
Yes, it's great. And like, basically, Riker knows he's in trouble. Obviously, he's like, it's very odd. Like, Riker is just like, I don't know, fucking Jean-Luc Picard comes to my house unannounced, somehow beamed, you don't even know how it works, with a fucking like 19-year-old girl. My eyes are rolling in the back of my head. Like, so what trouble exactly are you in, buddy? Oh, listen, man.
You found out you have a terminal illness. Yeah, this makes sense. This all makes sense.
Let me see the racing car.
Exactly. This is a definite midlife crisis.
I'm trying to remember that. I feel like on TNG, it was more or less he was always finding some age-appropriate women.
Oh, no, you know, that's not his thing, but I just mean I mean, like, we lose touch for 30 years and all of a sudden you show up with a fucking 20-year-old girl. I'm like, I get it. Get it.
And this is Shoji Picard.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dude, she's pregnant.
Oh, just like
Tony Randall style.
Just like, oh God. Just like real life with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, oh yeah. That lady.
My wife's Sunny. She's approximately 34.
Yeah.
She's going to have a music career, you see.
Sure she will.
I do like his Riker's whole like, and we're jumping around, it doesn't matter. This is a recap show. It's free form. Yeah. I love the Riker breakdown of he's like, all right, Picard, shut the fuck up for a second. You're full of shit right now. Let me see what's going on here. You fucking come into my house. You tell me I got to have anti-cloaking stuff on my security system. That's Romulus.
I do love that his whole compound can just lock up real time.
Yeah, he says shields up and the fucking house goes. I was like, oh man, that's the coolest thing.
And also Riker's living under the dome.
Oh, definitely. Well, the way he says shields up again is just like, all right, no yelling in the yard. Shields up.
Who put these shields up? Oh my God, the kids, they're fucking wasting the battery. Well,
shields are up, the fucking dishwasher's full.
Doors open, shields up. What does this mean? This doesn't make sense.
Will, we're not on the Enterprise anymore. There's no more shields.
Oh, flashbacks. But yeah, and he's like, you know, so, and you're freaking out more than you should be, so that tells me Tal'Shiar. You're with this girl. She's fucking terrified. She's the one that's on the run, not you.
Yeah.
How am I doing so far, motherfucker? And Picard's just like, how you are the fucking smoothest son of a bitch in the galaxy.
Now, how am I doing so far, line? I got like a quarter heart. I'll be honest. I got a quarter heart.
And he's like, and I fucking, it's kind of hilarious because he's like, and this girl, who's clearly an android.
Yes.
And he's like, and I'd know that head tick anywhere. There's some data in her somehow. And he's just like, oh my fucking God.
God damn, Will, just put your hand around it for a minute. You've got to feel this. My God.
Will. I know it was Mr. Data who was obsessed with Sherlock Holmes, but I have to say, mister, look at you go.
There is another hilarious line.
Krusty or whatever your name is, get out of here. Me and your father are going to have a time right now.
There is the line where he's talking about, you know, I told you when you were going to go to that fucking, that Romulan, whatever, for the rest of your life, you're going to be up to your ass in Romulans. Up to your ass in Romulans sounds so racist and so wonderful.
I have to say, it's fucking great because Riker is referencing, you know, what did I tell you when you went to do the Romulus evacuation thing? But it's Picard.
Oh, that's right.
So it's Patrick Stewart having to say, so you want to be ass deep in Romulans for the rest of your life. Like, man, that's great. And that's more of what I'm talking about with, like, we can be real people on this.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. It's a really nice back and forth. We do get, The Captain Fantastic with the speaking our own language stuff. It's a little cute.
It's very, though, like, these are what these fucking nerds on Star Trek are doing. Yeah, we're making up fucking elvish-esque languages.
But it's also, like, the ideal life they have. They don't have a worry in the world, so they can make up whatever fantasy fucking
it's true.
Blobbity
and that's goop. It's a great turn, though, because, like, here's this great house, you know, the location. They got this garden.
He's making a pizza oven.
But, man, they've got a fucking dead son.
It's pretty cool.
It totally blindsided me. And she's like, it is kind of hilarious, though, because she's like, yeah, you can sleep in Thad's room and rest up Picard. And she's like, oh, you know, last week would have been his 18th birthday. And they show this picture, and it's a Photoshop thing of Patrick Stewart holding a baby. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
Oh, but also, like, I would be like, you know, is there another guest room out of curiosity? Not to be a dick or nothing, but...
What was his name? Thaddeus? I mean, what did you expect?
Listen, I'll just take the couch. I'm not sleeping in dead kid's room, okay? Because then someone's going to come in and say that I stepped on the wrong thing. Heaven the fuck forbid the bowling trophy goes missing. I am not sleeping in a dead kid's shrine, all right? I'm not dealing with it.
I've slipped on another matchbox car. To break my fucking neck.
And it's sad as fuck, though, because you find out, like, they moved to this planet because... the Earth, the whatever in the planet had like regenerative properties.
This is the right idea, though. Like, why retire on stinky old Earth?
Absolutely,
the fucking armpit of the galaxy.
No, but it's like they moved there because their kid was terminally ill, though, and it just adds this fucking air of sadness to everything. That, like, from a like for the start of it, you're like, what a fucking idyllic existence, and it's like. It's something that TNG would never be able to do because you didn't do stuff like that in the show. But like all of a sudden, these characters are given this weight of like they've lost a child.
There's layers, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, you knew something. It was either going to be a dead son or they've got a people under the stairs situation going on in this fucking house.
I guess it's one or the other, Chris.
Picard, don't mind those hands coming out from under the stairs. It's fine.
Is there, not to be a dick or nothing, this pizza's delicious. Are there people under the stairs?
Some rumbling down near the cellar door.
Yeah, of course, referencing the excellent Earth film.
They mentioned that this kid would have lived if it wasn't for the synth band. Like, there would have been a level of technology that would have prevented his death.
Yeah, there was something about, like, you could do something with a positronic. And I hear positronic, that just means data's brain.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, some sort of positronic technology would have helped fuck with the cells in his body and, like, keep the disease
so,
at bay.
I mean, it's interesting to see the ramifications of the synth band and how it would affect, like, medicine in this world.
Yes.
It's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
There is, just because it's such a strike against the episode, the whole Agnes subplot of her on the thing and, like, she wants to tell everybody what's going on and they keep trying to hyperdrive forward to where Picard is, but Narek is clearly following them. There is a absolutely abhorrent Empire Strikes Back reference, which is not okay. Cannot happen.
Right. Well, it's a classic Earth film.
I guess so.
What was this moment? I missed it.
They're like, oh, she's like, what? I don't want to, you know, if we're going to have to fly into an asteroid and it happens to be a large blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And I'm you can't do that.
Well, maybe there was like a Sully Sullenberger-esque situation where a guy flew into a black box mouth.
But it's like, dude,
never the twain shall meet.
Thank you. Literally took the expression out of my mouth. Like, that should not happen. You want to do...
You're right. I'm just trying to cover their tracks.
But it's like, you want to do Beastie Boy jokes in those Abrams movies. Right. What the fuck ever. Fine.
You want to make a Plan 9 reference, maybe?
Any science fiction besides Star Wars. Like, it just shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, Elmo's going to find a lightsaber somewhere.
Elmo?
I'm going to fucking sue the shit out of this guy.
Hold on. Oh, my God. Well, actually, because
Elmo.
Lucas, I didn't even know what you were talking about.
It's like talking to my uncle.
Elnor, I guess?
Elnor.
Elnor?
It's like Eleanor without the fucking middle part of
it. Bullshit name. I can't remember.
It rhymes with snore, Chris. That's the way to remember it.
And it's the most frustrating snore of the series because what a fucking righteous character.
That's just doing nothing. So, like, there is, and like, the problem with the Agnes, Raffi, Rios dynamic is.
Yeah.
These characters are so underdeveloped.
Yes.
Like, at the point when, like, Rios goes to Agnes and is like, look, I think Raffi is the real bad one here.
I don't know what he's getting at. I don't know if he actually believes that. I don't know if he's he knows that Agnes did it.
Is he trying to trick her? Yeah.
Because the character is so underdeveloped, I don't know any of it. And then, like, all of a sudden, and again, even when Raffi is like, let me take care of you, sweetheart, Auntie Raffi's got you. Again, I'm like, is she...
smoking her up? That's what I thought.
That's what I thought too, but it turns out to be a fucking cake feast. They replicate three pieces of cake.
Which I thought was like, oh, is she trying to get, she knows that there's something going on and she's trying to get it out.
Exactly.
And again, like, it falls flat because these characters, and it's not the performances either. It's just, you don't know anything about these characters.
Yeah, you don't know anything about them. At least when you see like Riker and Troy, you're like, you bring your own mental
projection,
memory and baggage to the scene. You remember these characters, and it's, the show has been short, and we've been dealing with Narek having fucking tickle fights with feathers and shit. I have no idea who any of these people are.
I agree with that.
That's like every time they try to give like a moment of their own, it just feels like wasting time or plot like laying down more. Like even her going to see her son when she stops it, it's more to be like, oh, what do you believe? Do you still believe that garbage? And she's like, yes, I do.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I'm like, we know it's going to come back.
With Rios, it's like, well, he's former Starfleet, and you don't know what, and that's the only thing you have about him.
Well, he smokes cigars.
He loves cigars. He lays pipe.
He's tough. He fucks an Irish hologram for some reason.
He eats smoked meats for breakfast.
He does.
At least on days he visits Mr. Vup.
So at a certain point, Agnes realizes that they're tracking. He's tracking her through what her tracking device.
Yeah,
and she replicates some sort of thing that's going to stop it. She takes it and she goes into a coma, and that's kind of it.
Here's a question, though: is that what she's doing?
I thought so. Unless
stopping it. I mean, stopping it through committing suicide is what I thought.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because it's like the jig is up. It's also another weird thing because when Rios is like, listen, I think it's fucking Raffi.
Yeah, she's
straight up like, no, it's me. And then he's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go question Raffi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It can't be. You're attractive. Please.
So is Michelle Hurd.
Well, man. But him specifically.
Right. Yeah,
right.
No, we're fucking. It can't be you. Right. I would have known if we fucked it, like, you're a traitor.
Yeah. I've fucked traitors before.
If you had a tracker on, you would have felt it when I was up in there.
Oh, Lord.
So she takes some, like, thing, and then she starts freaking out. The hologram is like,
I think it's a hypo spray. Like, yeah. She's like right in the throat there.
The hologram is like, oh, no, she's got, she's in a coma. And then Narek is like, rats, I lost him. Right. Bye, everybody. It's me, Narek.
That's a great Narek impression.
Might as well be.
So there's a great sequence where, you know, Picard is being short with Soji and very, you know, rude to her and whatever. And by this point, Soji has told Troy everything that's happened to her. Yeah. Troy's got another great fucking dressing down here of like, you know what, Picard, you fucking deserve to get pushed by that robot. You know, this is what happened. She's been fucking exploited by the Romulans. She's been abused. Her mind has been fucked with and whatever. And you need to be the old Picard. You need to be curious and compassionate and helpful and all that shit. So she straightens him the fuck out.
She does.
Pretty great. Then they have their big pizza scene.
I love it.
They've got fucking unicorn rabbit sausage, gentlemen.
He's got like an outdoor kitchen. This place is great.
Artisanal tomatoes that he's growing on site.
Totally.
Like, I don't know what the mozzarella situation is. I'm not sure if he's sending out or if he's doing it himself.
That's a good point.
What does a unicorn bunny sausage do to your inside? Like, does your shit come to life afterwards?
Yeah, did you
like that
fly?
Seems magical. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
You just don't flush. It'll walk out on its own.
it's just
somewhere.
You go to the bathroom and like it's like glowing pink and you're like, the fuck? Oh, I had unicorn sausage.
Oh, I thought it was cancer.
You call up like poison control. Like, did you have bunny corn sausage? There you go. I mean, that's your thing right there. You're not bleeding from your asshole.
It's like poison control's like, you know what, sir? If you stop calling space dominoes, because you've called 3 weeks now, maybe you stop getting the bunny corn sausage.
Bunny corn lovers pizza.
Well, because it's like whenever I have fucking beets, I have to do the memento thing where I need to tattoo it on my hand. I'll take a shit. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's like, no, it's fine.
I have beets a lot, actually. Yeah.
Really?
They're delicious.
Yeah, they're earthy.
I couldn't give a shit about beets.
So I'm used to having red dumps.
There's a lot of scenes between Soji and this little girl, and like,
oh, are there?
There are. Yeah,
this is the fucking nadir of this.
There's
episode.
A lot of that, and like, basically, the idea is like, she's like, the girl actually is pretty bad at first. She's like, oh, you're a robot. That means you're a piece of shit. And it's like, well, wow, great. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And she's like, no, I mean, you're special and cool.
It's kind of funny. It's a cool thing where like, she's asking her, you know, questions. You're like, oh, do you play the violin? Yeah. Do you like Sherlock Holmes? Can you jump? Like all things that Data did. Which is kind of sweet. But yeah, so they have this table scene where Picard lays it out there. He's like, look, Soji, like, maybe this is the way you can come to trust me. Like, I was throwing my life away, rotting away in a vineyard, waiting to die. You've given me, like, a purpose. Like, I have one last mission to do. It's a kind of a sweet thing. And then this girl, you know, this little Kestra is just like, by the way, I'm texting with my friend. He's a weird old man who lives on the other side of the lake. He was able to tell me what your home planet is.
Captain Crandall or whatever his name is.
Yeah, dude, I've been calling him Crandall.
But like, it sounds
he's
a little...
got a broken down spaceship. He keeps on asking me if I want to go in there with him.
Oh, I mean, it just sounds like Captain Howdy in The Exorcist, actually. Oh my God. Might be talking to the devil himself.
That'd be cool. That'd be a great turn.
Would be a great turn.
Oh, no.
Actually.
Now I have to fight the fucking devil while the Tal Shiar on my back.
Would you like to teleport deliciously?
The Christian devil? All right.
Well, I have only ever encountered the devil when it came to life on the hologram. But this is the actual devil.
Yeah, so it's like he knows where they need to go. Rios is like, you know, I guess supposedly on his way to pick him up. Yeah. He's not entirely sure. There is a really great scene with Jonathan Frakes and Patrick Stewart at the end of this episode here where they like go out on a dock and have this like nice conversation. In somewhere in this episode, it's not in this scene, I think it's a little bit before, you get the detail. Riker still isn't a captain.
Yeah.
Picard calls him Commander Riker.
I guess he just quit, you know? He's like, he's cool with
it. He says he's in the reserves, though. Yeah. He's in Starfleet Reserve, I guess it's, you know...
3 weekends a month.
Yeah, what is that thing? 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year?
Yeah.
Jean-Luc, come on now. Punch my stomach. I bet you break your hand. Just try it.
But, you know, it's just a nice conversation. He fucking puts his arm around. I was kind of just a little bit of mush right here.
It's what I've wanted from the series, mm-hmm. because I've wanted a reunion show. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I know it's supposed to be this great new adventure, but fuck it. Get all these characters together. Do a no reservations. You've got Picard in his vineyard. Riker and his pizza. Yep. Maybe fucking Worf's got a burger place.
Geordi runs a glasses store.
You know what I mean? We're just going around.
Or just like do a big chill situation where like one of them dies and they all get together. And it's just like, give me like a Star Trek show or movie where we're not doing adventures.
Yes.
So that we're just kind of like in that world and dealing with real life shit of interpersonal relationships and not existential threats.
I would
from
do six
space.
Episodes of that easy and love every
out,
second
like
of
just
it.
One episode, Picard just drinking a beer on the porch.
Yes.
Hello. Yes, Mr. Worf. Yes, it's Jean-Luc. I know it's been a long time, but I have some bad news, I'm afraid. Kevin Costner has committed suicide. this
oh,
is where the
no.
services are going to be. No. Let me just say, mister... You can't always get what you want.
No, you know, the Rolling Stones.
You know who kills himself? Reg kills himself.
Oh, man. That's exactly
Reg Barclay kills himself.
Is.
That's it.
No, actually, hang on a second. It's got to be higher stakes than that because no one is turning out for that funeral. Oh, yes, Worf here. Yeah, thanks for the info, Jean-Luc. I'm busy that day. Can't make that funeral.
I'm much more into this fucking no reservations version. Like,
totally.
On the pants, you can find the bunny corns in the field and also on your plate.
And now strange foods with Andrew Zimmer. I'm going to eat some buttholes or whatever the fuck they serve on this fucking planet.
They're eating fucking raw bunny corn, and Riker's telling them about the political history of Nepal.
Yep, that's
I'm
all
down.
I want.
I'm fucking down as shit
And
for
you know
this.
What? Fucking Rizzo is nowhere to be seen.
No.
I
I just want her dead.
I just think that like that's what the show should be, just reunion.
Yeah.
That's what everybody fucking wants anyway.
The thing is like this adventure.
It wouldn't cost that much more either. I'm sorry, those people are not expensive. Well, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. They did the why don't we do both decision rather than just pick one. Like it was like, well, let's do a reunion show, but also let's do an action show. Let's just shit it all together.
But it is clearly a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Yes. Because if it was just a reunion show, we'd be fucking complaining about that in some capacity.
It would be less.
It would be lessened. But we'd find something to fucking complain about.
Tell me what is going. Why do the Romulans care so much about the synth life? Like, give me part of what they're gunning for to get me invested.
I need
them. Because right now, I don't know.
I need the two of them to have a conversation about why they give a fuck this much about finding this planet. Yeah, and I get it's because they want to eradicate all synth technology.
Sure.
But that's just way too, like, blanket.
All the villain dialogue has been like, oh, have you got her twirling around your little fingers still? Oh, how playful you are, Narek.
Oh, excuse me.
See you next week.
That's exactly what it is. That's probably fucking crazy.
Oh, sorry. Soji, excuse me. I have to take a phone call. My sister Rizzo is on the phone. Yes, sister, yes.
That will do quite nicely.
I will say, kind of to wrap this up,
yeah,
the worst part of this episode is when Agnes gets in a coma, so Rizzo knows where they can go and pick them up, and Riker has to be like, so it sounds like that crew of yours is pretty radical and righteous. And he's like, oh, yes, quite. You should come along and watch us each and every week here on CBS All Access. You know, I've been meaning to get that streaming service. Is it worth it? Well, actually, not. It depends on what you're into.
Well, I have to say the Twilight Zone was a bit of a bust. Remind me, because I didn't finish my non-high rewatch. How do we leave it with Troy and Riker?
They're just there. They
stay behind. They
yes.
Oh, that's what it's it, like the ship gets there. They do beam off.
Yeah,
they see them off. Right.
Yeah. Krusty so has a fucking sad talk.
Oh, she gives, that sad talk is the worst part of the episode.
Well, there's this obvious thing where at the beginning, it's like, huh, I got a broken compass. Isn't that an interesting metaphor? Better see that later. And then she's like, here. Maybe you should take this broken compass. It's kind of like where you're going. You don't know.
Thank you for this piece of shit. Thank you very much.
You're directionless, just like this garbage I'm getting.
Here, you throw this out.
Exactly.
Hold my compass.
But they beam out. And it's just sweet. I don't anticipate ever seeing them again on the show.
I almost don't want to. Unless I was afraid. I was like, if they fucking kill Troy or something, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Well, you expect with the shields up line earlier that their compound is raided.
Maybe season two.
Dude, if they fucking kill Troy or something to show how tough Rizzo is, I am way the fuck out forever. How about that?
Yeah. I don't think Rizzo's getting anywhere near.
That's killing Cyclops in The Last Stand.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Exactly. Totally. They beam up, and that's the end of the episode.
The next episode, we'll have 7 of 9 back. Okay.
Is she going to die? Who cares?
No, because he's got the fucking Fenrir Raiders show, dude.
Okay.
All right, let's go around. Let's fucking rate it. Steve Sadek.
It's a solid B, or it's a B, because I really love all the Riker stuff. The other stuff is not great. Mm-hmm. This is what I've wanted from this show forever, but even still at its best, it's kind of just a B at this point. I hate to break it to you guys. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly with Steve on this one. I think it's a B because I do, even though I didn't watch off TNG like you guys have. By the way, obviously, if someone listening to this, listen to The Nexus, where I'm mostly watching TNG for the first time. But you get that emotional connection with these characters, and it was nice seeing them back and share that space. And other than that, it's just like, all right. So it's a B for me.
Yeah.
It's like a C+ for me. I like the Riker thing I liked, but they also botched it because I don't really get, like, they talk about Thaddeus and like all this stuff. I don't know how Riker feels about this. He's just fucking being big dad fucking making the pizza pie. Well, like, he has no emotions.
That's his solace now. His son dead and he crawled into the pizza cave and he has to come out.
He won't get out.
But you're right, Chris, that someone named Thaddeus would definitely die of some rando disease.
You're fucking setting them up for health failure.
Well, I mean, he at least says, when he's talking with Picard outside the fucking awesome pizza oven, he's talking about, like, oh, this fucking basil or whatever. It grows everywhere here. It's great, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, the soil has regenerative properties. And he does have a line there where he's like, which, you know, for obvious reasons, we had to move. Like, he makes a reference to
it. But that's just him referencing that, yes, I did have a son. Rather than, like, well, what did he actually go through?
Of course, but that, I think, is in line with the character of Will Riker, which is like, you're going to fucking stuff that shit down, mister.
It'd be great if Troy was like, Jean-Luc, you have to talk to him. He makes a pizza every day.
It was Thad's favorite food.
It's scary. It takes him all day.
He's forced me to call him Chef Boyardee multiple times.
I woke up at 3 a.m. the other night, and he was downstairs making sauce. He won't stop. He won't stop, Jean-Luc.
Kept saying, keep stirring that sauce, Thaddy, to no one.
Oh, man.
Did you give a letter grade, Chris Gavin?
C+.
Yeah. I'm kind of on, like, the B-minus territory, because I think what saves it is Troy and Riker in this episode. I love the interaction. I think what they did as far as deciding how these characters ended up post TNG.
Absolutely. It's good.
It's great. Yep. There's a lot of weight to it. I liked it. What pulls it back from being like an A episode is all just the fucking Rizzo shit is garbage. I guess for now abandoning Elnor there, but I can't judge that on this because I don't know what's happening next, but all the shit with the daughter in that final scene where she's basically like, giving Soji, like, the go-ahead to, like, be a person in her own right. And it's, like, the way they, like, lit it and shot it, it looks like a fucking Hallmark movie, like, out of nowhere. I was like, what am I looking at right now?
Yep. It's a cutaway from a Honda commercial.
Yes. Yeah, it just, it really, really brought it down for me. And I just, like, keep the, obviously, emotional weight is important for the style of show that you're going for, but getting into this saccharine territory, I just can't do it.
I see why they did, because it's like this character needs to become, like, Soji, like, needs to become her own person.
Right.
Sure.
And through the eyes of a child, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I guess I get it.
I get why. You don't have to like it, but I get it.
Yeah, no, totally. But so that is Making It So for this week. We've got 3 episodes left to go, 8, 9, and 10, and then we are done with season 1 of Star Trek Picard. So until next week, thank you for continuing to be the loyal Patreon subscriber that you are, and I am Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Engage.